While everyone's obsessing about the Christmas season, you've got a different season on your mind. One where red noses come from shouting your support in the crisp, cold, pitchside air. Where the roaring fire is in your belly, not your sitting room. And the perfect gift is an unexpected win. Don't miss a moment with a GAA season ticket. A gift for yourself or the fan in your life. Available at gaa.ie/season ticket. Are you in? The GAA, where we all belong.
Football on off the ball.
You invest that sort of money and you win the league, I don't think you are going to part with the manager anytime soon. This is a spell they're going through and they will recover.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Heineken bringing you in-depth analysis this Saturday. You could win a UEFA Champions League trip for two just by grabbing a pint of Heineken in 100 pubs nationwide. Visit Heineken Ireland's Instagram to find your nearest participating pub. Over 18s only. Drink responsibly. Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
You are welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to 8 o'clock in this extended show as we bring you commentary later of Leinster versus Harlequins in the rugby. But right now, the Saturday panel focusing on football in the company of two former Republic of Ireland internationals, ex-midfielder David Myler and ex-goalkeeper David Ford. David and David, how are you both today?
Good, thank you.
Hi, John. How are you?
Yeah.
How are you, Devin?
Good, lads. Good,
hi,
lads.
Fordy.
It's Cork against Galway today, lads, or Cork with Galway, if you can hear me there.
I can hear you all right, JD, don't worry. Yeah, Cork v Galway.
Yes, I got you.
Yeah.
And David Myler, I was looking at the draw for the Republic of Ireland. If we get through this playoff, we could have Mexico, South Africa and South Korea. It feels like the hope is back, David Myler, after Troy Parrott's goal in Budapest. Where were you watching that moment?
I was at home in my house. Unbelievable. Obviously, going into that little, you know, into those games, obviously, we've got Portugal first, getting that result, the performance, even the red card for Ronaldo added to the spice of it, and then going to Hungary, confidence was high. Obviously, we concede early. We managed to get back into the game, concede again. You kind of feel it's almost gone and it's done in that little spell after halftime. But then just the belief from the group, and obviously, Troy comes up with two massive goals. Like, it was crazy. Obviously, Troy ripped off his top, celebrating. My son was running around the house with his top off. It was just, that's what it's all about, those special moments. And I'm delighted for the group because they've had a lot of them have had a lot of tough years. So to come through that campaign, and even with the start, you know, of that campaign, we weren't really optimistic. There was a lot of talk of the manager changing, and then they go and win. Inevitably, they won the last three games, beating Armenia as well, but just the whole thing. And then the draw adds that little bit of spice. It's something to look forward to, albeit we have a massive game coming up next March.
David Ford, where were you watching it?
I was at home as well. I've sat up on the sofa, feet up, and my wife was over actually at the table, and she was asking me what's actually happening, what's going on. And next thing I let up the almightiest of roars that I haven't roared probably since I was about 12 years of age. So yeah, it was a magical day. And the pressure that the team were under, the expectations to win back to back that we haven't done against two good sides for quite some time. Now we need to win, I think, four in a bounce. And that's the first time, I think, since 88 or something. So we're up against it. So I think managing our expectations coming into the next two games, but the momentum we have with it and to see Troy score the country's first away hat-trick as well, that's magical. That's amazing stuff from Troy.
It's all about creating new memories for children, isn't it, David? Because we all remember ourselves as kids getting those memories, and that's what it's about now for everybody who's involved in watching that. And hopefully now in March we'll be able to approach the playoffs and do ourselves justice against Czechia and then hopefully a home game. Are there do's and don'ts around a playoff?
We're both David, so it's going to be hard, JD. I think the hardest part with those playoffs is, like, it's a one-off game. You're going away from home. Obviously, I remember the Denmark playoffs for the World Cup in 18. So we went across to Denmark, got a very good result and then came home, and obviously unfolded into a horrific evening. Certainly with this one, I think the group, the confidence the group will have taken from the last period of international football is huge. Confidence will be high. It's almost a shame that the game's not right around the corner, that they've got to wait a couple of months. They've kind of got to go back to their clubs and kind of come down off the high and kind of come back into normal life, where certain lads in your teams haven't been away in international. Some have. There's that, you kind of, you build those bonds in that, you know, those 12, 13 days you're away together. Now it's 4 months out from the playoff, but like they'll be itching for it. They'll all be hoping to stay fit, obviously be playing regularly, playing well, hoping the manager picks them. And they've nothing to fear. It's going to be a difficult game, yes. No, we haven't played the Czech Republic in a long time, but certainly, you know, they've nothing to fear. I think the last two performances have shown that they're more than capable of going and getting a result. And it's just now, when you kind of come into those playoff scenarios, it's just one game at a time. I know we'll be eyeing up the home final in a way, but you've got to just take care of business with the first game.
And David Myler, have you been in touch with your friend Seamus Coleman around everything that happened?
Briefly. I spoke to him after the Portugal game. Obviously, firstly, it's brilliant to see him back. I think you can see the influence he's had on the group. A lot of players have come out and spoken about that, but it's just the type of player he is, the type of character he is. He's someone you'd want in the change room with you. I did speak to him before the Hungary game to wish him all the best. And I said, you better be playing. And he made a joke to me, said, I'm 37. No, I won't be playing 2 games in 4 days. And I said, well, I'm not watching if you're not playing. But lo and behold, the team sheet came out and he was playing. So he was lying to me. But no, it's brilliant, even for him, you know, just to the opportunity to play in a World Cup. Yes. But I think for someone who's had a career like himself, it would be the, you know, the fitting end to his Ireland career to get that opportunity to play in a World Cup.
David Ford, I mean, I'm sure you've been watching Cuilín Gallagher's progress with a lot of interest as a former Irish number one. He is really flourishing right now.
Absolutely. Personally, I believe he's the best keeper in the Premier League at the moment. His stats in the qualifiers, he's been the best goalkeeper through that whole process. And he's an amazing talent, he's amazing ability, and plus he's so young. One thing I do look at, and I kind of scratch my head about it, and I wonder why Liverpool, I know why he wanted to leave to go and play football, but why Liverpool actually let him go. If I was Liverpool and I was then, I would have actually made him my number one. Just with Alisson's injuries and the couple of knocks that he gets, and he's getting to that age now as well, like, you know, so that was an interesting move. And it shows you the type of player and the type of man that he is, that he was willing to go to Brentford when he probably could have looked at it and gone, right, I can get probably a European club here, a top club. Not saying that Brentford aren't. They're doing amazing stuff with Keith and a phenomenal club. However, he did go and take that choice to go to Brentford and stuff. And he's been excelling this season. And I thought he was magnificent in both games. And he's been, for me, this Ireland's player of the year this year.
And David Ford, what is he getting right as a goalkeeper? What is he doing well that you're seeing? He's really getting that thing right. Is it the shot stopping? Is it the positional awareness? Is it just commanding the area? What's he doing right?
What he does, he's a great ability to make world-class saves at important times and important moments in big times of the game. Whether the game is either still within reach or we're holding on to a lead, he always seems to come up with a big save, a big match-winning save, and those world-class saves. And that itself is an art. That's not something that you just teach or you just learn. That is a skill, and that is an ability. I feel he does that really, really well. And one of his greatest strengths is his calmness, his composure. He's so composed. He's so in control of what he's doing on the field of play. So yeah, he's a joy to watch as a fellow goalkeeper.
Stuck in a dinner rut? Let Cook Unity handle dinner with chef crafted meals delivered right to your door. Cook Unity makes it easy with new menu drops, weekly recommendations, and a growing community of award winning chefs, plus over 400 flavorful meals for every palate. Shake up your meal routine. Go to cookunity.com/mealtime50 or enter code mealtime50 before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's cookunity.com/mealtime50.
And Aston Villa leading Arsenal 1-0 at the moment in the Premier League. David Myler. Keith Andrews, obviously, as a an Irish international, somebody you must be following with interest, given what he's doing at Brentford as manager there. I mean, he seems to be getting things right. He's stabilised any kind of maybe talk around the fact that they could be struggling with Frank gone, with Wiese, Mbeumo and Tony gone.
Yeah, and when you list those names out, JD, and you think it's Keith's first managerial experience, he's done a phenomenal job so far. Brentford have been extremely competitive in games. They've been winning games. It's almost like Brentford have always had this kind of system with, you know, heavily backed with data. Keith was obviously the man they wanted. He'd been in around Thomas Frank, seen the workings. And I think Keith has just continued to build on that and add his own little bits of dust on it to, you know, and they've been exceptional. And he deserves great credit. You know, the losses of those players with Tony and Mbeumo, but then they've made some really, really good replacements. Obviously, Quivín, which Fordy's touched on, and the goal has been brilliant. Obviously, my pal Jordan's come in to kind of replace Neugaard. And then they've got Igor up front, who's banging goals in. So it's been really good to see, because it's always difficult to get an opportunity for any Irish coach, certainly in the Premier League, and to get Brentford as your first gig. It's really remarkable how well he's doing.
Would your paths have crossed, lads, much? I mean, you left Cork City or Galway United and from the League of Ireland, the Perry, at different times. You both had different journeys in England. David Ford, would you have known David Myler at all, or is this Irish camps?
Well, I'm glad you brought me into the conversation of would we have played against each other in the League of Ireland. So that makes me feel a little bit younger. So
I remember playing against you, 40.
Well, I know the story you're going to tell. You're going to tell the goal at the Den with the year you got promoted with Hull. And I think we had an Irish camp the next day, and he breaks through from the halfway line, rounds it around me, taps it in, and wheels off in celebration. And that was a long week in the Port Marnock Hotel.
Yeah, because 40, I remember, JD, I'm not sure, it was the 12-13 season, but we played Millwall away. I think it's one of the fastest goals ever scored in the championship. It's one of them, we kick off, we knock it long, the old traditional way. We knock it long, they knock it back. For some reason, I find myself in the number 9 slot. I don't remember who's playing centre-back for E40, but he's gone to, obviously, he's opened up going to play back to 40, and I've just gambled and he's played me through. Obviously, yeah, then 40, I've given 40 the old mince pies and sent them the wrong way. I scored after about 50 seconds. But yeah, look, I think the main time I spent time with 40 would have been in and around Ireland camps, leading up to, say, you know, kind of what, 14, well, no, 12, 13, 14, 15, the times I was in. Experienced pro, being around JD, always good with the young lads. Like, even, I know we've kind of touched on Ireland slightly there, but like, that's where I was very fortunate. I know I speak on behalf of the lads similar in age to me, that you had older experienced players who'd been in and around Ireland camps for a long time, had good experience, but were good with young lads. I was very fortunate. You had, you know, your 40s, your Shays, like Richard Dunn, we kind of crossed paths, John O'Shea, Robbie Keane. You had all those big figures and big personalities, like even Keith, Glenn Whelan, fellas who had been around the block a long time, who just helped guided you in and around those camps when you were young. And that was something I felt that this group of Irish players didn't have for a long time. You look at the older experienced players, weren't, as per se, natural leaders. And that's why I personally believe that's why there's been a lot of praise for Seamus, because he is that type. Like, his career stands alone, but then the human behind it, he's very good at, like, when new lads come in, integrating them, getting to know them, making them feel involved. Whereas other lads are just there to kind of take care of business and don't, if there's a 10-year gap, don't necessarily get in and around players as quickly as others.
Yeah, I remember the Parrott goal. I think it might have been the equaliser in Budapest, but you just see Coleman right beside him and just, you know, G'ing up the crowd and getting into it and such a strong figure, and you can imagine him having a big role in the game in the future if he wants to be a manager or a coach. David Myler and David Ford were talking to her about their international careers, but also what they've been doing since. So David Myler, you're now involved with Cork City as assistant boss. Obviously, you were in the cup final against Shamrock Rovers. I just want to get a sense from the pair of you what you're doing post-retirement, because you're coaching in different ways, perhaps, David Myler, you could explain to us what you do on a day-to-day basis. What does day-to-day football involve for you right now, and how enjoyable is it?
It's the closest thing I have to playing. So standard day, JD, I'm up at 7. I'm in work between 7:30 and 7:45. We train out in Bishopstown. People of Cork will be familiar with that. I'm in there kind of like, what's the day unfold? What type of day is it? When's our game? How long ago do we play? When do we play? You're sitting down kind of preparing for the session at hand. Do we have a meeting? Do we have analysis? Okay. Am I leading it? Is the manager leading it? If it's me, are my clips in order? Am I happy? Am I covering? What am I going through? Then the manager will come in about 8:15. I'll say, right, if I'm leading it, here's what I have. Are you happy with all this? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, fine, crack on. Then we'll discuss. We'll have a morning meeting with the physio, the S&C coach, where we go through the availability of the players. Just to say, right, we have 20 players or we have 18. Such and such has got a knock from the game the other day. So then we plan out the session. What are we going after? If it's just after game, are we reacting to something, or are we being proactive towards the game that's coming? So we're just kind of doing that. Then once you kind of get to 10 o'clock, we'll have a meeting with the players, run through some scenarios, open the pitch. Then for 11 o'clock, the players will obviously go do their work. We'll have a final get together. Anything we might have missed in the meeting, if I'm leading it, for argument's sake, I'll say, right, have I covered everything that I said I was going to cover? So obviously, once you're in there, you want to keep it short and sharp and precise. Then we're out on the pitch, work for give or take on average 75 minutes. Then we're back in, discuss the training session, what went well, what can be better. And then we start planning towards the next day. So that's kind of like a quick 15 to 30 second synopsis daily. Then obviously as you lead closer to the game, towards a, like a Friday, you're watching teams, you're trying to get ahead of yourself, right? What are we going to show the players? What do we need to show them? Because the one thing I will say in the League of Ireland that I'm noticing is you play a lot of the team. Well, you play teams a lot. And in England, you don't have that, you know, with 20 teams as opposed to 10 teams. You play each team four times. So not a lot changes and the styles aren't a lot different. So you can end up covering. There's no point in having a meeting for the sake of a meeting. So we try and cover all the bases in one or two, and then we'll retouch gently on things. That's more or less it, really.
And how does it differ from being a player? I mean, when you're a player, you're responsible for yourself and you're obviously your own body and your own skill set. But then when you're, are you able to switch off? I mean, have you managed the switch off part of it, the family part of it?
Well, my wife and kids are still in England.
Yeah.
So that part is different. I'm so used to obviously finishing work, rushing to the kids' activities. My kids are 9 and 6. They're doing so much. I think Thursday is the only day that they don't have activities or they don't have something on. So they, like my daughter has most days two things on. So I don't have that. No. So I end up, you know, watching more sessions back, watching games back. Otherwise, I know he'd be on here the other time, Mr. Delaney, Damien. I like to play golf with Damien.
Very good.
Yeah, he takes my money. yeah. For anyone who doesn't know, Delaney's a scratch golfer. So he's very good. He's got too much time on his hands.
Right.
I play golf. I play golf with Delaney then the odd times when I'm free. But a lot of it is just based around what I need to do for work. I'm fortunate as well, being back home, I play golf with my dad as well. So I've kind of substituted my wife and kids for my dad and Delaney for the afternoons or the mornings.
Temporarily, obviously.
Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Kachava's all-in-one whole body shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Savor the season knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves. With Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Kachava, KACHAVA.com, and use code FITNESS for 15% off.
Yeah, David Ford, you're involved in a thing called Pathfinder Coaching. So you've got into coaching in a different way. Maybe explain what that is and how it came about from your previous role as a goalkeeper and a professional footballer.
Yeah, a company, Pathfinder Coaching and Development. So it was a concept probably began in 2010, 2011. And it was a time when I was struggling with my own mind and struggling with my own performances and my own well-being. And I started to look at, right, what actually is this? I'm doing the job that I love. Yeah, I'm battling with my ambition and searching for meaning in it also. So that took me on a wild and wonderful adventure through my sport and through myself, and to get to understand my motivations, my fears, my insecurities, all those different elements in terms of, well, how can I increase and enhance my performances? And from 2010, 2011, all of a sudden, I find myself at 31 years of age, becoming the, well, 33, I get my competitive debut against Sweden and becoming the oldest player since World War II to make his competitive debut in a World Cup qualifier. So my performances started to increase. So I thought, right, at that time, I said, what actually is this? This is really interesting. And I started to see that and having the foresight that this is going to be a major profession and a major pathway for the future around health and well-being and the mind and those different elements like that, because it was an area I was always fascinated by. So 2017, I went back to university, did a master's in coaching psychology and personal development, and I started to see right, how can I use this to use my experience from football plus my studies and my experiences in life to help people. So not only do I work with players and athletes and managers and coaches and even parents from all different divisions and all walks of life, I also do a lot of corporate coaching and executive mentoring as well on that element of thing. And the one thing that I found and what I discovered is that at the end of the day, there's one common denominator, no matter what you do, is that we're all human. And what I found was recently releasing my book, Being the One. And then one of the chapters is called Everyone's Greatest Opponent, EGO. And my wife said to me over in New York, do you remember that one, David, when we played Portugal in Giant Stadium before they went in 2014 down to Rio? And we narrowly just missed out on that. We should have qualified. Unfortunately, we didn't. And my wife said to me, she goes, you know what, David, you're after playing against Ronaldo and some of the best players in the world tonight. Who's been your biggest opponent? Certain people flashed through my head. You know, your Ronaldo's playing against Spain's, playing against Germany's and all the top players in the divisions. And I said to myself, I was my own biggest opponent. So I really started to explore that in depth. And that's taken me around the world to South America, to India, to different places to figure out, right, what actually is that. And in terms of how that can help them with team culture, team development, and understanding my mind in terms of, well, how can I help and benefit others to maximise their potential and their performances.
What's your relationship now with yourself then, David Ford?
I have a great relationship with myself. Finally made friends with him. So, so, no, look, life is good. Can't complain. I had an amazing football career. I, as I tell people, I drove it like I stole it. I give it absolutely everything. I have no regrets whatsoever. And I met some amazing coaches, some amazing managers, some amazing people like David Myler on the call, your Seamus Coleman's, some amazing coaches, some amazing players that had a major impact on my life, whether they know it or don't know it. But it's been a great adventure to you know, go from having an unorthodox path in football, where I was a builder, a baker, everything but a candlestick maker, to being at the peak of what I ever wanted was my dream, was to play for Ireland once. And I got to do that 24 times. So I was very fortunate, very lucky on that stage. I help people off the back of football.
And David Myler, I mean, we sometimes look at footballers as, well, they've got great lives, they're earning a lot of money, they've, you know, they're playing in front of thousands of fans and doing what they love for a living. But as David Ford has outlined there, the mind is something you have to manage as well. And we're all human, whatever you're doing.
Yeah, and the mind is fascinating. Like it's even listening to Fordy speak there, it's fascinating. Like the journey he's gone on himself, and a lot of players don't do that. They don't kind of dive in and actually explore their own mind, what makes them tick, whether that's your routines, your structures, what upsets you, what annoys you, what makes you happy. And it's such a common thing now. It's obviously a lot better than it was, where mental health has been spoken about. And I think the resources are there. A lot of clubs have psychologists, where it wasn't like that many years ago. Like someone I worked with, Mike Caulfield's in at, you know, Brentford. He's got his famous bench that's become very popular, and it's I still speak to him to this day. And it is something that, you know, footballers struggle with. You know, from the outside, you look at a lad, well, what could be wrong with a fella earning £100,000 a week? But in my experience, the more money you have, the more problems you have, and it can be a very lonely place. And fellas, well, players need help. They need people around them. They need a good support network of people, people they trust and people who have their best interests at heart. And there sometimes can be problems with that, with people, with their intentions and what, how can they get something out of this? But even just like the stuff, like listening to 40 there, I knew he was in a bit of it, but to hear him talk about traveling the world and obviously going into corporate, it's now growing. And it's obviously more popular, and it's only for the better of people. Because we all have our own struggles. It's how we deal with them and how we come through with them.
And David Ford, obviously the person you were and are, you know, that's all part of your journey. But are there parts of yourself you don't recognize now that you would have had in your makeup maybe in the past?
No, I see the parts of what was possible and the potential that was actually there. But just afraid to step into it, you know. And for me, in that space was always a difficult one, because battling with self-esteem and self-worth, and people used to say to me, well, I never really recognized that, you know, you were Ireland's number one at one stage, you know, the senior players or the young players looking up to you, you had your times. But inside of it all, as a goalkeeper, it's a lonely position and a lonely role, and understanding that side of and that support. So when I look at it and I see the amazement of the mind and understanding the multitude of personalities that are actually there, that doesn't mean I'm schizophrenic. Like, it just means that I've, you know, parts of my personality that I never explored. And it's like meeting new parts of yourself, which is an amazing experience. And, you know, eradicating fear and looking at, you know, how can we become more fearless? And the biggest thing, as David said, is looking at support and finding that person that can unconditionally support you. Yeah, that can give you that, you know, when you're down to pick you up, and when you're up to bring you back down, and not getting too high and not getting too low. So amalgamating all that from in terms of the leaders and the managers and the coaches has definitely influenced who I am today. And I'm grateful for everybody that's been part of it. My family, my friends, everybody that's helped me to get that far. And football has just been a part of that. It's been a part to understand that, and a huge vehicle in that.
It's 1-1 now, by the way, between Aston Villa and Arsenal in the Premier League. Leandro Trossard has scored for Arsenal at Villa Park. Well said, David Ford. We'll just get on to the football chat here. When it comes to Arsenal, David Myler, do you think they're the team to beat in the Premier League? Is their title to lose? Their squad is stronger. They're very good at home. Declan Rice has been possibly playing his best ever football, and they've got options now up front. With everybody else's struggles, are Arsenal looking pretty solid? And this is a big game for them to get out with something out of Villa Park.
They're in the driving seat, JD. Like the squad they've assembled, even if you look at the bench that they had today, like Trossard, Matawaki, Gokeres is back on the bench. They've built a squad that's ready to go and win the Premier League. The only thing they haven't done is like go and do the final bit and do it. I said from day one, I tip Man City. Obviously, they've not been great. They're now 5 points off. Obviously, this game is currently on now. You just said it's 1-1. So if they were to drop points at like City with close points, I think the biggest thing that league leaders and the teams that have gone on to win or have done over the last few years is just find ways around Christmas to just build 8-9 games, well, 8 or 9 wins, and they just kind of keep going once the new year turns. It's always what Pep has always kind of said, you want to be thereabouts by February, and that's what he's done. Do I see Arsenal holding out and winning it? I don't. I see City doing it. I think Arsenal are making the right steps, getting closer. I just feel Pep will pull them together and they'll get through it.
Is that because of City's ability and resources, or is it because Arsenal are still missing something?
I think it's a bit of both. I think there's also the fact that, you know, Liverpool obviously winning it last year, that will hurt Pep. He'll want to bounce back to be challenging on all fronts. They've added some new additions to the squad. And I just feel he has the know-how, and those group of players have the know-how. And when you've got someone like Haaland up front, what is he, 100 Premier League goals in 111 games? He just always scores goals. Like, okay, you could talk about the Fulham one the other day. They were just cruising City, and then all of a sudden they concede loads of goals, and it's like it makes the game seem a lot closer. But they just have the know-how. In Arsenal, it's that final stage. It's just getting over the line. Do they have what it takes? All signs so far in the season. What are we now? They're their 15th game in. They're showing that they're more than capable. But they've been thereabouts the last few seasons. It's just taking that next step. They bolster the squad. They look really good. Their defense is solid. They're conceding less goals. But it's just the final bit of the know-how, how to get across the line. That's where my concern with them would be.
David Ford, do you share that, or do you think Arsenal are going to do it?
To be honest, I've been lucky enough this season because a good friend of mine is a season ticket holder there, and he's invited me up to 3 or 4 games already this year. Like what David said, the bench is very strong at Arsenal. And even when they had Odegaard out in the past, they struggled. Now they've got someone like Nzubamende, and I think he's a phenomenal player. I've thoroughly enjoyed watching him this year. Madueke, I think that creative side, he's given him another dimension as well. I've really been really impressed with him. David Raya, like that, he's up there with Quivín for me in terms of top keepers in the league. They keep a lot of clean sheets. They're very good from set pieces and defensively and offensively. The only thing I look at Arsenal over the last number of years is, can they go away to a Man City? Can they go away to a Liverpool? Can they go away to the big so-called clubs and actually get a win, you know, and make it a kind of a trademark, put their stamp down? And I think that's one thing they've struggled to do. If they can do that over the next few weeks and a few months, I definitely feel they'll have a great opportunity. But as David said as well, I do believe that Man City, it is going to be tight. They have the experience, they have the know-how. Guardiola is a footballing genius, and they're in good position. So I think it is definitely between either.
57 minutes in the watch. Aston Villa 1, Arsenal 1. If Arsenal can pull it out here, it'll be kind of what David Ford is talking about there, winning a big match away from home when they were 1-0 down. Liverpool, a club close to your heart, David Myler. What's your diagnosis of their issues at the moment?
I don't think we've got long enough, JD. That's tough. Where do we start? They're conceding too many goals altogether. Like, whether I know, like, Slot has been on, like, Sunderland, and, you know, the chances they're getting is laid on and what have you. Yeah, but for a long, long time, certainly at Anfield, Liverpool, teams turned up and knew they were getting beaten. You weren't going to get much opportunities, and Liverpool were going to cut through you. I think the form of Konate and Van Dijk as a, like, individually and as a partnership has been poor. Then you've had, you know, obviously Trent leaving. That's that creative spark that they've had. They bring in Frimpong to replace him. He's been, you know, injured quite a bit. So they've had makeshift fullbacks, whether it be Szoboszlai, like I know Conor Bradley, yes, he's played a bit. And then you look at the form of Salah. Obviously, he's left him out the last two games. Is that just to kind of give him a breather and take him out of the firing line, just to kind of say, right, refocus yourself? But then, like, you look at the losses. Gertz hasn't hit the ground running. It was always going to be difficult for him coming from Germany. Premier League is a different kettle of fish. But then, you know, losing Luis Diaz, even for all its faults, and Nunez in front of goal, his work rate and his energy. Then you look at, you know, Curtis Jones spoke recently about the intensity in training. Obviously, under Jurgen, I was privileged enough to watch some sessions. The intensity every day was 100%, like it was full throttle. Slot does things differently. which is fine. He's the manager, but you can see that there's no, they've almost lost that little bit of bite and dog in them where they hunt teams in packs and they don't give you an opportunity. Now I find when teams come to Anfield, they're able to knock the ball around a bit too easily. That's never been the case. And I think they've just kind of lost that little bit of identity which they had. Yes, I understand that's Jorgen's group of players, or that he had and his time, but certainly under Slot, they need to get back into that, squeezing teams, the life out of them, but then at the same time being better at the back and conceding less goals. It's far too many. But that's a quick synopsis, JD. Yeah. It's not been great. The results haven't been good enough. The performances haven't been good enough. Look, they were brilliant last year. And like I've left one final part out, which is the massive one, is obviously the loss of Diogo Jota. It's easy to point to other things, but that is a huge effect on the change room. And with any part of grief, with any person in life, we all deal with it in our own way. Some deal with grief immediately, some it takes time. But for those players coming into the training ground every day, it's a reminder of, you know, they've lost a teammate, a friend, a brother, someone they'd shared a lot with. And it's been very difficult for them. I just hope that, I imagine the support is in place for those players. I just hope that they're going and speaking about it and trying to, you know, help themselves deal with the loss of a teammate and a friend.
Yeah, well said. David Ford, when you look at Manchester United, I suppose the other club that are hugely supported in this country, they spend a lot of money on forward players. They don't have European football to worry about. There's a lot of time for Ruben Amorim to spend with the players in the training ground. Do you think they're going to get there? I mean, getting there might not be Alex Ferguson, but getting to a place where they're a competitive team again. Or are you a bit more worried if you're a Man United fan, David Ford?
Well, to be honest, I'm a Liverpool fan, like David, okay. So I take great pleasure in talking about Man United. But it's amazing to actually see what has actually happened to Man United over the years. I think probably in the 80s, was it? What year was it that Arsenal beat Liverpool
2-1?
89. And, you know, Liverpool went on that, you know, 20-year, 30-year bit of a spell. The interesting thing about it was Liverpool was always in the kind of top four or thereabouts within the European positions. And now you're looking at United, you know, being mid-table, bottom half of the table over the last number of years, and a lot of problems and a lot of issues. There's so much that you could speak about the club in terms of what the problems and the issues are. There's massive debt hanging over the club. You look at the stadium, they're saying the stadium's in disrepair, all those different elements. And then the managers coming in, and off the back of the legacy of what Alex Ferguson and that team had actually did in terms of that success. That is a massive weight to actually carry when you go into a club. So they're probably being victims of their own success. And you see Amorim, you know, the job he did at Sporting and stuff. I definitely feel if he gets time and he gets it right, they will do well. And you've seen, you know, it's just the inconsistency at the moment. You know, they lose, they you know, they kind of win, they lose, they draw, and it's just totally not what you'd expect from what Man United sides would have been in the past.
We see the Champions League this week. We have Inter against Liverpool, Chelsea away to Atalanta, Spurs at home to Slavia Prague on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, Arsenal away to Club Brugge, Newcastle making the trip to Bayer Leverkusen, Real Madrid up against Manchester City, which they've had so many ties in recent years, which have been fantastic games, but maybe Manchester City are not at the level they were in 2023 at the moment. Maybe they might get back there. And obviously, Rodri's been injured and he's been a big loss for them. Are you enjoying the league format, David Myler? I mean, when Paris Saint-Germain played in the final last year, they were sensational with the wingers. And look, do you see it as a European club that is not a Premier League club maybe doing it this season? Or can you see an Arsenal or a Manchester City or even a Liverpool challenging again?
I think it's so early to try and call. Inter Milan have looked very good in the Champions League. And obviously, as you said there, they're playing Liverpool very soon. So, like, Inter Milan will fancy themselves. The Italian clubs have always had good history in the Champions League. Obviously, you can't go against Bayern Munich. Real Madrid are the kings of Europe. Barcelona under Flick look better. I know they've had some difficult moments there recently, but it's just the new format, I think, just throws out the odds. Spicy game that we all look forward to. We've had some dead rubber games over the years, certainly when the bigger teams have had those groups where they're playing two lesser clubs and they kind of just dwindle through the group. And you kind of get to those points on a Tuesday, Wednesday night when you're trying to watch that there's no real matchup that you're looking forward to. Now this format throws out great games. It is different, obviously, with the top eight walking straight into the last 16 and then the rest of them, 9-24, playing little playoffs against one another. So it does shape up and we get thrown like these games. So there is exciting. You say, like, was it Chelsea? I know Arsenal played Bayern not so long ago, which was a fantastic game. So there's always good matchups. And I think in this early part, it doesn't give away too much. You see, like, PSG just scraped through at the start of the last one, and then they just built on their season and go and kick on. I'd fancy Bayern Munich or Real Madrid to be thereabouts at the end, but it's so early to call. You never know with injuries. Then obviously when the window opens, signings, players moving. And then the English clubs have always tended to get in around the quarter semi-finals. And if you get the right side of a draw and a bit of luck and an opposition, you never know.
We got to kind of wrap it up. David Ford, the best luck with the coaching, with Pathfinder. You got a busy run up to Christmas, or are you going to be hitting the ground running in January?
Busy run up till my birthday, and then I'll take a couple of weeks off and then hit January hard, as I said. So yeah, looking forward to that. And it's nice to get this side of football where you can have a break at Christmas where you're not racing up to Hull for Boxing Day or something like that. Like, you know, so you can get in, watch your games, and I'll probably go to a couple of Millwall games, and they're third at the moment. So I'm praying to get to the Premier League. It'd be amazing. So looking forward to that.
David Motter, what are your next few weeks looking like?
Pre-season, JD.
Right.
Gotta get them going, boy. Gotta get this club back in the Premier Division.
Yeah.
So that's our focus. Just head down, get going. Obviously, we're just extremely disappointed with how it finished out. We had that little look forward to the cup final. The cup final, like almost a what-if cup final for us. Shamrock Rovers is an excellent side, but our full focus is to get the club back to the Premier Division as quickly as we can. So that's our aim. So into pre-season, into training, get these players fit, get them running. I'm looking forward to it.
David Myler, David Ford, thanks for coming on Off the Ball Saturday. Have a great Christmas, lads.
Thanks, John.
JD.
Heineken, bringing you in-depth analysis this Saturday. You could win a UEFA Champions League trip for two just by grabbing a pint of Heineken in 100 pubs nationwide. Visit Heineken Ireland's Instagram to find your nearest participating pub. Over 18s only, drink responsibly, get the facts, be drink aware, visit drinkaware.ie.